Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
I'm sure deep down he was like, oh, good. Last week he didn't have to talk to me. Neil Coulon. One week to Latrobe. So, I want to actually start with the world-famous Deshaun Watson. This is not a Roger Goodell decision in the end. What do you think, after reading everything, the NFL might do with him for the upcoming season?
Let's see. I enjoy this. I point out to people, I feel like I've earned an honorary graduate degree in law.
Yes.
Going over all of the ins and outs of the NFL. It's really interesting in a lot of different ways, but maddeningly frustrating because, in all honesty, the way that I read it, and I am not an expert by any stretch, I think Sue Robinson is probably going to see more splitting in half of what each side is requesting. And there's a reason for that. We have to keep in mind here, from a bargaining perspective, the collective bargaining agreement is the document they go off of. It is not a court of law.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Judges don't want to have to step in to settle disputes between two people who have already signed an agreement covering these things. Okay. Now, Sue Robinson is not a judge. She was. She's appointed to this position to solve these disputes within the CBA. Now, what it comes down to is the burden of evidence and how that is described in the CBA of what the NFL requires in order to issue a suspension.
Mm-hmm.
You might remember in the whole Deflategate fiasco, as much fun as that was, one of the big things that Roger Goodell really hammered on was they felt they had a higher standard of evidence to impose the suspension that they did. For him to have said that, it sort of suggests this is what we look for when we issue a suspension. Now, in the CBA, it says something different. They don't necessarily need as much, according to them. They kind of conflicted themselves in Deflategate because they also had mentioned it's more believable than not that this happened.
I always love that. It's more believable than not, which means they don't know.
Which it's absolutely not, you know, rock hard evidence. You know, we get that, and that's the NFL makes no, you know, they're not trying to they don't want to be in a position where they are considered legal, you know, that's not where they want to be because they'll end up in this situation. And right now, what they have is this, at best, this lowest level of evidence to suggest it. And that's through their own investigation, which is bolstered by the fact that two different grand juries failed to indict Deshaun Watson for the things that he is accused of.
That is right.
So he is not in any kind of criminal trouble. That lack of evidence is not clearly spelled out in the CBA, but I don't want to call it wishy-washy, but Goodell used the higher standard in a previous matter in which they issued a suspension that was appealed. In this case, they have less evidence than what they had then.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is one interpretation that Robinson can have. Also, keep in mind, the league wants a year-long suspension. The union, which is representing Union and Watson, I'm just going to call it the union. They're representing Watson.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want any suspension.
That's right.
They're disputing anything.
They're saying on the legal side of it, there was no indictment, and because of that, he should not be suspended.
Yeah, and if you look at it based on the CBA, not our opinion, not court of law, there isn't a strong ground on which that Robinson can say the NFL is right. A year is appropriate. That's what it comes down to. Robinson has the ability to say yay or nay and propose what the suspension should be. The NFL is then able to appeal and kind of give whatever they want to give. But the issue with that is if you're picking nothing or a year, the evidence suggests more nothing than a year. So you really can't use a year as a final verdict. I don't think anyway. I don't think Robinson's going to see a year. I think there is enough to suggest, based on the CBA's language, past precedent, everything else that's come with it, they have enough to say something like 8 to 10 games. I'd go on the record as saying if I were betting, and as disgusting as it is to bet on something like this,
right.
I think 8 to 10 games is probably where it's going to land.
I agree with you. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be 8 to 10 games, and they're going to do it as a way of saying, see, we did something.
I think, if anything, the NFL, you got to keep in mind, they want kind of what the fans would want. I don't think the NFL collectively, certainly the owners, are very happy with the Cleveland Browns as far as the precedent that they set to give out that big of a contract to a player who's facing, at best, a questionable 2022 season. To create all of this, the NFL has to go for a year. They would look terrible if they didn't. I don't necessarily think they can get away with a year. And I don't think Robinson sees that either. So the NFL is left with the unenviable position of either up front not asking for a very severe punishment, which the fan base of the NFL is going to riot if that's the case, or having Robinson be the bad person in the situation and reduce what they want, and then override her, which is only going to create animosity with her as well as the union.
Right. Why did you bring me here? Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. What am I doing here? You know, I gave you my reasons. You just don't accept that at all. And yes, it is collectively bargained that that's what you want to do. But at the same time, this is the biggest situation in which you had disputes, and I was brought in to handle this. You failed to make your point as well as the situation merited. And according to me, you're wrong, but you're telling me that I'm wrong. So, okay. It seems to set kind of a bad precedent. But keep this in mind. This is going to be critically important. Dan Snyder has gotten himself in a little bit of trouble.
A little.
That's a slight problem. When one of the owners is going back and forth arguing with Congress over whether or not he should testify, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a bad look, to put it mildly.
Yeah.
And on top of that, there were thousands upon thousands of emails tied to Snyder and the circus operation that he's running over there that were coming out. And the NFL, right, wrong, or not, decided John Gruden is the one that they want to pin all this on. That's a separate lawsuit, okay? Right. So Snyder, who probably has dirt on every owner, is whether or they get to a point where they have to force him to sell, that's going to be bad for everybody.
Right.
Not a good situation. And a lot of that control is out of their hands. Congress may tell them they have to.
Right.
You know, from what I understand, it's not necessarily going to come to that, but
no. They're
in trouble, and they fined him $10 million. I don't think that the current political climate is going to appreciate that as much as Goodell thinks that they will. We'll find out what happens, but that's another war on another front. Gruden wrote a bunch of nasty stuff that he shouldn't have in an email to somebody who worked within the Washington organization at that point.
Right.
Gruden wasn't even an NFL employee. And if you go by what the media have reported on this, Gruden's the one at fault for the whole thing.
Right.
He had his career destroyed.
Yeah.
Okay. He had his contract wiped out. He got fired with or without cause. That's going to be another lawsuit that they're going to have to deal with.
Yep.
And don't think for a second that Gruden appreciates this a whole lot either. All of these things paint the NFL in an extremely precarious legal situation. Do they want to create more bad blood and have this whole saga with Watson continue, when, to be honest, as weird as this is the one situation the NFL, either way, really didn't do anything. They weren't right. the cause of their own problem right. this time. Watson's the one they can shut and move on. The other ones they can't. Those are still on the horizon. So to be honest, I think they just take what Robinson says and they move on. I think they know it's going to be 8 yeah. to 10 games because I don't think they can justify the year that they want.
Well, again, there's two parts to this. One, they can look at everybody and say, well, we put her in charge. She decided. That's one. So that gets them off the hook. Number two, let's not discount that it's also a woman deciding it. And I think at that point they can go, okay, as for Snyder, you need 24 owners to get rid of him. And like you said, I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can come up with 24.
I think that the NFL has been amazingly steadfast in their unity with each other. The yeah. Jerry Richardson situation broke a lot of precedent in a very different situation for a lot of different reasons.
Yes.
This, however, and Dan Snyder has never even come close to suggesting that he is interested in selling the team. Richardson,
not even close.
Some people said it was kind of the point. He wanted to move on. His family could still run it, and or they wanted to liquidate and get out of it. It was a difficult situation. You look at the ownership situation in Denver. Look how long that took, and that was when the owner died.
Right.
You know, the legal battle to control it was intense.
Right, because
extremely expensive
because of the way he worded his will.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The back and forth over the value of owning an NFL team. Is the value of that team is way above and beyond just the $4 billion that it's worth. It's power, it's control. And the NFL, they are so tightly regimented in an effort to, I don't want to say protect one another, but they understand the meaning of united we stand, divided we fall.
Right.
They don't break ranks with each other. They don't discuss those kinds of things openly. They are very, very contained. Snyder, there's if you look at it just logically as a human being, it's really hard to imagine any of them like Daniel Snyder all that much. And Daniel, among the many things that Snyder has committed or is accused of committing, he stole money from him. I mean, I'm not sure how often many of them you mess around with the gate numbers, but that's what Snyder was doing. It's like here comes the point. This guy is just a walking liability. I mean, how many problems has he caused the rest of us over the last 3 years that we know about? You know, what else is there? I can't imagine they want him to continue, but I don't think they're able to get people to take that kind of a stand, to create that kind of a precedent, because maybe they're doing a bunch of other stuff that people don't want other people to know about. And Snyder can go tell everybody about it. I'm sure he's got a tell-all book that is waiting for the opportunity to publish. And two, to create a precedent to that, to create the scenario. And I remember Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks said this back when Donald Sterling was getting booted from the NBA. Do we want to create a situation in which selling the team is a legitimate punishment that will have to be publicly called to do in every situation that people don't like? That's you can't close that box. And I'm not necessarily sure the NFL would want to do that. They'd like all of this to go away. That's why they fined him a huge amount of money. I understand that it's probably not a whole lot to Daniel Snyder, but $10 million is $10 million. That's by far the biggest fine they've given to an owner over you know, anything that Snyder's associated with. So you're fighting all of these fronts legally. And I think that the Gruden situation and the Snyder situation are two that they can't control as well as they would like. The Watson thing could go away if they get exactly to your point, the woman of prominence that is mutually hired between them and the union, they made their argument. She made her decision. They can just go with that, and I really think that's what they'll end up doing.
Right. Yeah, I do too. And again, the power is going to be in the fact that he has not been indicted. All right.
Yeah.
And let's face it, I think most people, when they look at the legal system, because
You are before a grand jury. They'll tell you, and there's no defense presented, that it's, quote, much easier to get an indictment. And the fact that they couldn't is going to be, I think, back up exactly what you said.
None of it is enough to reach a higher burden of evidence. And the NFL can't provide that. They investigated it themselves. They looked into it. It's an ugly situation. Nobody likes it. I don't think anybody thinks Deshaun Watson is purely innocent of any of these things. And his behavior, and we've talked about this before as well, I find any ex-player speaking anonymously or on the record, they're going to tell you that the franchise quarterbacks that are made, that have those kinds of contracts, do not go trolling for massage therapists on Instagram. Okay, right. They do the opposite of that. It's shady. In any way you look at this, it's shady.
Yeah.
At the same time, right. though, there isn't enough there yeah. it's, from a legal perspective.
It's under the category of it's more believable than not.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe they should get Ted Wells to write a report. Okay. That's...
That name still sends chills up my spine. The amount of time and effort. Oh, my God.
I interviewed 400 people.
Science all over again.
I interviewed 400 people. Just interview the 7 or 8 that are relevant. Move on. Will you cry? Goodness sakes.
We're out going there. After the wrong things here. I mean,
what are we doing here?
Trying to define physics in this. Like, you didn't need this much. It was a mess.
Right. We interviewed 400 people. Like, so what?
Yeah, it's great. You know, I read 20 articles on this, and that's way too much. You know, the issue in many ways is the NFL, I think anyway, just has to stand up sometimes and say, there's not much we can do. We are not a governing right. body.
Exactly. This is where the collective bargaining agreement comes into play.
Yeah, and the whole point.
This has been negotiated with the union. He is a union member. And, you know, thus there are times where you look around and say, okay, guess what? We don't have the ability because of this contract to do what you hope we should do.
Yep. And it's difficult because you don't want to throw anybody else under the bus.
Exactly.
Like John Gruden.
Right.
But at the same time, there comes a point that you kind of have to say, look, Deshaun Watson is the one that did this, not us.
Right, yeah.
Okay? Go after him. Right. It's honestly the way I feel about it in this case. Like I said before, there aren't many instances in which the NFL is involved with something that they are not culpable for in some
right.
way.
Yeah.
I understand that he works there and people are outraged and angry, and I believe they should be. But I don't know to the extent the employer is that responsible for it.
Right.
Well, they're trying to do what they can the way that's collectively bargained. And if they go with 8 games, they go with 8 games. I don't know what the right number is. I just know that based on the agreement that both sides have entered into, they don't quite have enough to say a year, but maybe something is warranted, and that's up to Sue L. Robinson. And I think that's the way that it's going to go.
And Gruden, for example, is a member of management, not a part of a union.
Yep.
Snyder.
Gruden wasn't even in the NFL at that
right,
point.
Exactly.
It's Snyder, strategic decision.
And Snyder is an owner, and they do have a procedure in place to remove him, but they can't get the 24. So.
To open that door, they're not going to want to do that. If they get compelled to do it from the same legislatures that the NFL is kind of railroaded and getting all these stadiums built, then maybe it's a different story. Once again, this just kind of goes back to the sins of the father. You know, you can't continue to get away with these things. It's going to catch up with you eventually. I think with Snyder, it very well could be that the strong arming of, for example, the Minnesota State Legislature to get U.S. Bank Stadium built in Minneapolis.
Right.
That happened in Washington, or not Washington, in New Jersey. All of these things, you're creating enemies in doing it. And I think that's going to kind of come back to haunt them in situations like this. Dan Snyder, the fact that Dan Snyder is appearing in front of Congress is just unbelievable to me. Yeah. I just, oh man, you've got to just get in line. I mean, you're really destroying a lot of value for everybody who's involved with this. And I mean anybody associated with the NFL.
Yeah.
And to do it in such a reckless and careless way is really astonishing to me, even for the NFL. And it, Snyder has a history of all this stuff. It, if they can't get 24, I feel like they're only a vote or two off. They can't be far from it This is just not working. I mean, he's a liability. I can't put it any better than that. You're not going to advance anywhere with that guy again.
This is Donald Sterling under different circumstances.
Yep, exactly it.
Okay. My friend, thanks so much. Appreciate it. We'll probably revisit some of this again next week.
Yeah, I'm sure more will happen between now and then, maybe today. Who knows? But thanks for having me. You guys have a good day.